Well, it turns out it's going to be the Music City Bowl for Tennessee in bowling season. What are your thoughts? Do you thumbs up it? Do you thumbs down it? What does the rest of the SEC Bowl schedule look like? Who got picked where? We'll discuss all that, plus another Tennessee commit over the weekend. All that and more here on a Monday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into a Monday edition of Locked On Vols, your team every single day. Today's episode, it is brought to you by Sonos. Sonos is the official sponsor of ESPN College Football. Go to Sonos.com to learn more. Got a fun show ahead. We're going to talk about the Music City Bowl, about Purdue, what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses, all that type of stuff, and get your reaction on what do you think about the Music City Bowl. Is it convenient? Is it annoying? All that here in segment number one. We'll go over the rest of the SEC Bowl schedule in segment two, and then we'll talk Tennessee recruiting in segment number three. But I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Vols your first listen. You know the drill as well. Tomorrow is Twitter Tuesday. So at underscore Kaner, at Locked On Vols, send me in your questions, your comments, your concerns, and we'll discuss them all. It's when you take over the show every Tuesday on Locked On Vols. Really, really enjoy the Twitter Tuesday editions that we do here each and every week. We got hoops going right now, too. Tennessee, a big win over the weekend. It's first true road game, really, since the 2020 season before COVID, right? And, you know, it's going to be in action this week again in New York against Texas Tech. So that should be a whole lot of fun. So hoops, recruiting, football, all that and more for Twitter Tuesday if you have any questions or comments. All right, so it is the Music City Bowl for the University of Tennessee, and the opponent will be Purdue. So the Music City Bowl, it is on December the 30th. That is a Thursday, right? Because the New Year's Eve is a Friday, and then New Year's Day is a Saturday. So December the 30th, a Thursday, is going to be at 3 o'clock Eastern time. Purdue, who is 8-4 on the season. Tennessee, of course, who is 7-5. The bowl schedule kind of sandwiches and flip-flops. It is the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which was a possibility for the University of Tennessee. That game will go at 11:30 a.m. in the morning, and then the Music City Bowl will be in the afternoon. And actually, it's a three-peat for the SEC. Well, not really an SEC tie-in this year, but it will be for next year and years to come. December the 30th, also at 10:30 Eastern time, will be the Las Vegas Bowl, and Wisconsin's going to be in that one. So that's what the schedule looks like on the 30th. And again, the Duke's Mayo Bowl, the Outback Bowl was an outside chance looking in. You have the Gator Bowl, which is a hot commodity. Also, the Liberty Bowl was a possibility for Tennessee, but the Volunteers wind up in Nashville. And I want to know your thoughts. Is it convenient for you, those who would not be able to travel to Florida, those who would not be able to travel 6 hours east from Knoxville to Charlotte? Is this going to make it easier for you to travel, you know, I'm so bad with time change, by the way. I know, shocker, right? Is it the 3.5 hours west to Nashville? Maybe time change is 2.5, and then on the way back, it's 3.5. I don't know, but it's not that far, right? Are you and the family able to make that trip happen? Are you excited about it, or is it just kind of a letdown? I know that the Music City Bowl in Nashville is kind of a letdown. It's good for the state. It's really, really good for the state, and it's not a bad bowl game. It's the same level as the Taxslayer Gator Bowl and as the Duke's Mayo and of course, the Music City. All those bowls are technically the same level, but I understand you want to go to Florida. I get it. So I understand some of you guys might be a little disappointed, a little upset, and a little annoyed because, again, Tennessee's been to the Music City Bowl many, many times this last decade, right? And it's had a lot of success in the Music City Bowl. So we'll see what's in store now. I know for my sake, I talk a lot of crap about Jacksonville all the time. I was under the impression we were going to go to Jacksonville. I mean, again, it was all kind of a pick 'em. Like, I didn't have any inside sources saying, watch out for the Gator Bowl. I just felt like that was that was the norm of last week. It's like, oh, well, when Tennessee goes bowling, likely in Jacksonville. I know there was a lot of different possibilities. I just felt like Tennessee was going to go back to Jacksonville. It's not. It's going to Nashville. So everybody that's going to go to the game, maybe stay for a couple of days, taking the new year in Nashville. I've done that before. Maybe come on back to your respected home, taking the new year with your friends and your family at home. I don't know what is in store for me just yet. I'll probably be told to do something, but Nashville is a possibility because, again, Tennessee is going to be in the Music City Bowl. So let's talk about Purdue, shall we? You've got an 8-4 ball club who is 6-3 in conference play. Purdue finished in the West Division fourth, again tied with Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Purdue with a 6-3 overall record. But when you are 6-3 conference record, and all those teams also had 8-4 conference record or overall records as well. But when you go to tiebreakers and all that, the way it finished off was Wisconsin was second in the West behind Iowa, a 6-3 record overall in conference play, 8-4 on the season. Minnesota 6-3 in conference, 8-4 on the season, and then there's Purdue 6-3 on the season, 8-4. 8-4 on the season, 6-3 in conference play. Purdue was 4-2 at home this year, 4-2 on the road this year. It finished the season on a 2-game win streak. You look at that schedule, starting from the top, it started off 2-0, took down Oregon State, won 49-0 on the road at UConn. You know, two easy dubs there. Then it took on a power in Notre Dame, number 10 at the time, and Notre Dame beat them by 2 touchdowns. So 2-1, it handled Illinois. Well, I say handled. It got by Illinois in just an ugly, ugly game, 13-9. Fell by a touchdown to Minnesota, 13-20. Then it came up short by 3 scores against number 2 Iowa at the time, and that was on the road, losing 24-7. Then it lost to Wisconsin. So again, the heavy hitters in the Western Division, Purdue did not perform very well. Wisconsin beat them by a couple of scores, 30-13. Then on the road at Nebraska, escaped with a win, 28-23. Against Michigan State, lost by 11, 40-29. Against Ohio State, 59-31, the loss. Took down Northwestern and crushed Indiana to end the regular season. So again, when you look at some of the better players in the Big Ten, Purdue was not a factor. Got drilled by Ohio State, lost convincingly to Michigan State, lost convincingly to Wisconsin, lost convincingly to Iowa, and of course dropped a couple other games that it probably shouldn't have, and then, you know, lost by 2 scores to Notre Dame, who's not an in-conference team, but still it is a worthy opponent. You look at some of the stats, and I haven't written my first glance piece so far, but that's coming early this week at VolQuest.com, and when I write it, I will bring it on this podcast when I really dive into the numbers. But just a quick look at the stats. Purdue scores 27.5 points a game. It allows 20.5 points a game. It has about 423 yards of total offense. Gives up about 342. It's pretty sharp on third downs. It possesses the ball for a little over 31 minutes a game. Kind of just stuff like that. You look at some of the heavy hitters for Purdue so far this season, and Adrian O'Connell has been kind of the leading passer. He's the starting quarterback, 23 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions. You look at the rushing leaders, King, Dorsey, 2 touchdowns, 512 yards. They've got three running backs who have over 100 yards on the season. Again, King Dory, I believe is how you say his name. He leads the way. And you have Xander Horfath and Dylan Downing as well. And then you look at the receiving corps. You got Milton Wright, who's got 7 touchdowns on the season. David Bell, who has 6. They've got some pass catchers who are really worthy there. So we will dive into more about who Purdue is, how did Purdue get to its results at the end of the season, and what's going to, you know, what does Tennessee need to to look out for against the Boilermakers, and that'll come in my first glance piece. But it's Tennessee against Purdue in the Music City Bowl. Tennessee a chance to finish off the regular season with 8 wins. Now, wouldn't that be something? Tennessee, a 7-5 regular season, can finish off the whole season with an 8-4 record. That would be really solid for Josh Heupel in year number 1. All right, don't forget Twitter Tuesdays tomorrow. When we come back, we'll take a look around the rest of the SEC teams going bowling and the college football playoffs, all that. We'll talk a little Cruton in segment number 3. But before we get into all that, guys, I want to remind you about Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy that's made easy. Prize Picks is the leader in college sports daily fantasy, offers more college football props than anyone in the world, and also offers props for the star players at the Power 5 level and the mid-majors. Prize Picks offers any prop you can possibly think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. And every new user, if you put in the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get up to a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 just by using the promo code LOCKEDON on your first deposit. You pick the 2-5 players, the over and under, and the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. And you can use the award-winning app both on the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's so easy. And PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So I don't want you to hesitate. I want you to check out PrizePicks.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, or you can go to the App Store and download the app today. It's PrizePicks, daily fantasy made easy. We're talking more bowl games here in segment number two. Of course, Tennessee heading to the Music City Bowl to take on Purdue. That game will be on December the 30th at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. Welcome back into Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Don't forget Twitter Tuesdays tomorrow, so be sure to get me in your Twitter Tuesday questions, comments, concerns, @_Kaner and @LockedOnVols. In case you're new to the show, welcome. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee at the flagship station for the Vols, and I also work for Rivals.com, covering Tennessee football and recruiting for Tennessee, obviously, at VolQuest.com, so welcome aboard. All right, so Tennessee's against Purdue. What's the rest of the SEC, you know, kind of shaking out and looking like? All right, so obviously with Georgia just dropping the ball against Alabama, I mean, you know, those two teams, if it all sits, if it all is positioned the way that, you know, the odds are making it, BetOnline has Georgia as 8-point favorites over Michigan, Alabama as, I want to say, 14-point favorites over Cincinnati, then those two teams will play again in the national championship, and it'll be a repeat of the 2017 season. I hope that's the case because I want to see Georgia. I'm shocked. I mean, again, if you guys listen to any of the radio shows I did last week and a little bit on this podcast with Chris Gordy, you know, I was talking about, you know, I'm picking Georgia to cover because I think Georgia is a better football team up and down. Obviously Bryce Young's the better quarterback, between he and Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett, who just completely, you know, crapped the bed once again against a big time opponent. But Georgia's just a better team on paper. It is. But I was like, I'm picking Georgia. I'm expecting Alabama to win just because that's college football and that's Nick Saban. And, well, Georgia jumped up to a 10-0 lead, and then Alabama comes storming back and blew them out, right? So I'm hoping that we see Georgia take on Alabama again because I want to see if Georgia can put up a better fight. And I want to see about JT Daniels, if JT Daniels plays. I mean, gosh, there's so many different storylines. But nonetheless, the SEC has two teams in the college football playoff. Alabama's the top seed. Georgia is the third seed. Cincinnati's the fourth seed, and Michigan is the two seed. All right, so those games will be on New Year's Eve at 3:30 and 7:30 Eastern Time. The other SEC tie-ins, of course, you have the Sugar Bowl with New Orleans, and that will be Ole Miss against Baylor. I think that game will be just so good. Two high-scoring offenses. I think that'll be a fun game to watch. That'll be on New Year's Day at 8:45 Eastern Time. So then you go down to some more SEC-affiliated bowls. You go down to the Citrus Bowl. That will be Kentucky. Kentucky will take on Iowa, and just the football gods are punishing us, right? And again, I am a defensive guy. I love defensive football, but I mean, you got to give me something, right? You got to give me something. Iowa completely dropped the ball against Michigan. And in games it's lost, it just doesn't score points. Well, Kentucky, we've seen Kentucky score points at different times this season. It did against Tennessee, obviously, and that's not saying a whole lot. But I mean, Kentucky can score points. It started figuring it out towards the end of the season. But I mean, what a gross matchup on paper, right? The Citrus Bowl, Kentucky against Iowa. Ugh. Anyway, that'll be January the 1st at 1 o'clock. We work our way down into the middle tier of the bowls, and this is in no way, shape, or form. This is a grouping of bowls. I'm not saying that I'm starting off with the Liberty Bowl. I'm not saying this is the best of these groupings of bowls here, but I will start off with the Liberty Bowl. That will be Mississippi State against Texas Tech. Okay, that will be December the 28th at 6:45 Eastern. The Dukes Mayo, we thought that it would be getting South Carolina in there, and it did. So it's that SEC-ACC tie, and I think this will be a nice one. South Carolina against North Carolina. North Carolina should beat them by 40. Simply put, North Carolina should just beat them by 40. That's plain and simple. But South Carolina's got a couple big wins in the season, and good for Shane Beamer there. So for a team that I thought would win four games, they won six games going bowl to the bowl game and to the Dukes Mayo Bowl, a battle of the Carolinas in the Dukes Mayo. Then we get to the Music City Bowl, of course, Tennessee-Purdue. That's on December the 30th at 3. Earlier in the day, it's the Taxpayer Gator Bowl, which was a big-time possibility for Tennessee. They went ahead and got A&M. And it'll be A&M against Wake Forest, and I think Wake Forest will run them. That'll be on New Year's Eve at 11 a.m. The Outback Bowl chose Arkansas, which I thought that they would, against Penn State. That's on New Year's Day at noon. Arkansas is a team that, yes, it was ranked top 10 at one point in time. Yes, it went through a midseason lull. I get all that. But it's a fan base that's fired up. It's a fan base that is fired up right now, and that fan base should travel very, very well. So the Outback Bowl, which I've been told wanted Tennessee very badly, I just don't think you could justify not taking an Arkansas, potentially an A&M over Tennessee, right? So, or Tennessee over those two teams. So the Outback Bowl gets Arkansas. They'll play against Penn State. That should be a good one. And then the Tax Act Texas Bowl, which will be in Houston. Woo! That'll be LSU and Kansas State. That'll be January the 4th at 9 o'clock Eastern time. I was hoping Tennessee would get that bowl because I wanted to go to Houston. I don't know if I've told you guys this, but I've said it on the radio show plenty of times. But I knew that that was never a possibility because Houston, that Tax Act Texas Bowl, that's more of an SEC West tie-in. So 13 teams from the SEC are going bowling. Other teams that'll be headed out to different bowl games. The Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. That'll be Missouri against Army, and Army will just run through them. I mean, can you – one of the best rushing teams in the country, an option-based team, Army, going up against the nation's worst rush defense in Missouri. Oh, my gosh, Army might score 100 on them, literally. So that is appointment television no matter what. And the good thing for me is I'm off pretty much the entire bowl season for my radio job. I'll still come on this podcast, no worries, or sorry, depending on how you feel about that. But I'm off from the 20th on through the end of the year, so I'm going to be watching football every single night. Missouri against Army, appointment television, December the 22nd. The Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl, that's in Tampa as well. That'll be Florida against UCF. Bleh, what a disgusting, gross-looking bowl there. You got a bowl in Tampa hosting the home team Florida and UCF. That is disgusting. That'll be on the 23rd. And then you got the Ticket Smarter Birmingham Bowl. Ticket Smarter Birmingham Bowl. That'll be Auburn against Houston. And I'll tell you what, Houston might beat Auburn there. Houston's a good football team. Houston is a really, really good football team. That'll be December the 28th at noon. So that is the SEC layout. Again, Tennessee, a chance to go to the Duke's Mayo Bowl, but I never thought that that was the realistic option. I thought it was more or less the Taxpayer Gator Bowl, but they went A&M because the Outback went Arkansas. Of course, Citrus went Kentucky, so it's kind of a pick-down effect there, right? Kentucky, Citrus, and then the Outback Bowl essentially was choosing between Tennessee, Arkansas, and Texas A&M. I just don't think it could justify, and of course the SEC had a helping hand in this as well. I just don't think it could justify picking Tennessee over those two teams. So it goes Arkansas. It pushes A&M down to the Taxpayer Gator Bowl, and then Tennessee to the Music City Bowl. So that is what it looks like. Other bowls of note real quick before we head on over to segment number three that look a little enticing. You've got Wisconsin and Arizona State and the Las Vegas Bowl. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. You've got Clemson, Iowa State, and the Cheez-Its Bowl. You've got Virginia and SMU. SMU will beat Virginia in the Fenway Bowl. Wow, that's pretty neat. It's in Boston, of course, probably at Fenway Park, if memory serves me correct. You got Texas Tech, Mississippi State. That should be interesting. And Liberty Bowl, I already mentioned that one. Kind of go up and down the list. It's a really, really fun time. Some say it's the most wonderful time of the year, this bowl season. But just keep in mind, when bowl season is up, well, that's the end of college football. So, nonetheless, those are the big important games on the docket for the SEC teams in bowl games. And Tennessee will take on Purdue in the Music City Bowl. We'll talk Cruton in segment number three, but first, Bet Online. It's got you covered for all the season props, odds, and lines more than ever before as football season continues on with the march to the playoffs. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all your sports action this season. You can head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website. Sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. And, we've got Built Bar, all right? It's the holiday season. Grab a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar or even better than a candy bar. It is a Built Bar filled with so much holiday goodness, rich and decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy, and so many flavors, guys. You've got raspberry and mint brownie. Is it going to be cherry or double chocolate? Cookies and cream or peanut butter brownie? It gives you that extra fuel you need to wait in those lines or fight off those holiday shoppers. And because it's a season of peace and love, don't bring up your favorite Built Bar flavor at your family parties because, again, so many people are so passionate about which flavor is the best. And are you friends with Santa? Tell Santa to throw a few Built Bars in those stockings. It is the perfect stocking stuffer this holiday season. So right now, go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That is at Built.com. A final segment here on a Monday, Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kane or on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. Twitter Tuesday is tomorrow. Don't forget, get me in those Twitter Tuesday questions, comments, or concerns, and a lot of you guys might have questions about recruiting. Well, let's talk a little recruiting right now. On Saturday night, Jordan Thomas committed to the University of Tennessee. He is a three-star safety, about 6 foot, 190 pounds from Montgomery, Alabama, where he attends Montgomery Catholic. We talked a little bit about Jordan Thomas on one of our episodes last week because he decommitted from Mississippi State the same day Tennessee went to visit him in his school. All right, so Jordan Thomas has been a longtime Tennessee target. He becomes the 16th pledge for Tennessee's recruiting class, 6th on the defensive side for Tim Banks. And when he talked to us last week, he told me, I just need to sit back and reevaluate my options and just kind of decide what is best for me. But at that point, Tennessee was the only team in the race. He decommitted from Mississippi State. Auburn had been involved, but he kind of started shutting them down. So it was slam dunk to Tennessee, and we knew that was going to happen this weekend, and it happened on Saturday. So, you know, he's a guy that is very aggressive. Kind of when I watch him on tape, I see that his physicality kind of stands out. When he's playing over the top of the safety, he runs downhill in a hurry. He seeks out contact. He really does a good job in the run game. He blitzes well off the edge. He gets after the passer, and he brings a load when he makes the tackle. He's got the speed to close space in a hurry. He changes directions very well. He's got a really nice plant foot and then bursts out of that whenever he's cutting or changing directions. He displays a great base in his back pedal. He's got a really nice back pedal and his quick feet. You know, his tape also shows him running well in man coverage. He also reads routes very well when playing zone. He's easily the best player whenever you're looking at his highlight tape, you know, against, you know, whoever's on the field. And of course, it is a huddle highlight tape, so that's the purpose of it. But he's easily the best player whenever you check him on the tape. But what really stands out to me about Jordan Thomas is he's a guy that loves to play special teams. And I don't know if you guys saw Jameson Williams of Alabama playing gunner on punt team the other day in the SEC championship when he made a huge play and got up there and like pointed to the camera and all that. I mean, that is an all-American wide receiver playing gunner on special teams. Put your best players out there, let them play special teams. And, you know, the fact that the effort that Thomas gives on special teams is second to none. And, you know, he is a willing tackler on kickoff team. He flies down the field. He goes after punts on punt return, all that type of stuff. So I think he's a guy that could fit into playing special teams right away for Tennessee. So what's this mean for Tennessee? Well, he is the second defensive back commit for the University of Tennessee. Christian Harrison, who committed earlier last week, was the first. Harrison is a corner. Thomas is a safety. And again, that brings Tennessee's committed class up to 16 overall and 6 on defense. So who are some more defensive backs that Tennessee is still in it for? Well, Marquise Gilbert, Keontae Scott, Desmond Williams, those are from the junior college ranks. Back to the prep level, Michigan commit Cody Jones, Boston College commit Amari Jackson, and Jeremiah Caldwell. Those are also on the board as well. It was a massive recruiting weekend for the University of Tennessee, where Tennessee had 8 official visitors on campus. Jeffrey Umba from Independence Community College, he really likes Tennessee, but of course he's a little bit all over the map. He's taking in Auburn a little bit. He's also got a couple other teams in play. He is from France. He will go back home and make his decision while in France over the course of the next couple of weeks. But he will sign in December, and he will enroll at somewhere for January. But Tennessee is in good standings with Jeffrey Umba. You've got Darren Agu, who is a Vanderbilt commit, an edge rusher. He was a Notre Dame commit. Then when Clark Lee left, he came down to Vanderbilt and committed to Clark Lee there. He's got a lot of talent off the edge. He visited with Tennessee as well, and so Tennessee looks to be in good standing with him. Three-star wide receiver Caleb Webb, who was an Eastern Kentucky commit, or Eastern Carolina commit, excuse me. He decommitted from Eastern Carolina earlier on Sunday, coming off an official visit with Tennessee. I think Tennessee likes their chances with Caleb Webb as well. Another commit that was on campus this past week was C.J. Smith. He is a Gator commit, a Florida Gator commit. He wants to give Napier in Florida, the new coaching staff, a chance. So he will travel back to Gainesville on an official visit, his second to Florida already this year. But because of the coaching change, he can go back and check it out. He wants to give Napier a chance, and so we'll have to see. But Tennessee's in the mix there. Georgia's in the mix there. I believe A&M is in the mix. That one's a long shot in my opinion, but he said he had a great time at Tennessee. And then the one to keep an eye on, I think Desmond Williams. If Tennessee is going to pick up another commit soon, I think it would be Desmond Williams. We'll have to see exactly if and how it plays out. But Desmond Williams, who I wrote a story on last week at VolQuest, who is a junior college cornerback who led all JUCOs with 7 interceptions, a guy that is a skilled returner, both punt and kickoff return. He is a guy that Tennessee likes a whole lot, and I could see him jumping in the boat here soon for Tennessee. So be on the lookout for Desmond Williams. I don't know the time, don't know when it could happen, but Tennessee vibing pretty well with him coming off on an official visit. So what's this mean now? Of course, you've got the early signing period. That is not this Wednesday. It is next Wednesday. It'll be next Wednesday through Friday. Tennessee is looking to close this thing out very, very strong. The Volunteers have 16 commits. Of course, you have 10 on offense, 6 on defense. And per Rivals, they have a team ranking of 26 at current standing. So that is where we stand right now. We'll talk more recruiting. We'll have any more questions you guys may have on recruiting. That can come on a Twitter Tuesday show tomorrow. All right, fun show, guys. Appreciate your interaction. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me. Don't forget about Twitter Tuesday. We'll do it all tomorrow. That's when you take over the show. Get me in all of your questions on Twitter Tuesday. What do you guys think about the Music City Bowl? You excited? You not? Thumbs up, thumbs down? Are you going to be able to go to this game now, or do you not even want to waste your time? I want to find out tomorrow. You can chime in for Twitter Tuesday as well, or follow along with the graphic on Twitter at Locked On Vols. Guys, thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Now, it's your boy Q, handicapping expert Lee Sterling, Locked On Bets. Make that your second listen each and every day. It's Locked On Vols for your first listen, and then Locked On Bets for your second listen. We've got a fun show coming up all week long. Monday is in the books, but we got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Have a great rest of your Monday, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.